Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Well, thank you for going back to my channel. Now, the Labour government said that they were going to get tough on this, they were going to stop abuse of the benefits system. There were too many people on benefits, on welfare, if you're American, that the bill was ballooning, that far too many people were registered disabled, people were getting personal independence payments who did not need them. There are some who do, and things like that. Since COVID has gone up particularly, people got used to getting money for nothing. If you pay people to do nothing, they will do nothing. And so it continues, even at a time of very low unemployment, when there were labor shortages in certain sectors, it was very difficult to find farm workers, construction workers, waiters, waitresses, chambermaids, and so forth. So often in the low-skilled sort of sectors, there was huge immigration. Why were British citizens refusing to take these jobs? Because being on benefits is a career, and sometimes it's a family business. It's multi-generational. Now, the personal independence payments are sometimes to those who work and help them. I'm not completely against the PIPs, or shall we call them PIPs, and I realise there's some people who are genuinely disabled. But there are people who are genuinely disabled who are perfectly capable of working and work. One of my friends has been wheelchair bound since birth. They're blind people who work full-time, deaf people who work full-time, mentally ill people who work full-time. I mean, nowadays we're all mentally ill. And so it goes on. People with only one arm who work full-time, and so forth. And then people claim that they're too depressed to work. But wait a second, if you slob around doing nothing, that is rather dispiriting. You'll feel better if you get up off your ass and actually achieve something. And so how come so many more people are being diagnosed with various conditions rendering them unable to work? There's this mental health hypochondria. One of my friends, a consultant psychiatrist, saying he's dealing with the worried well a lot of the time. As people like Prince Harry is saying, if you feel a little low or whatever, or worried, though that that's not the ups and downs of ordinary life, you have a mental health problem. Rather than being socioeconomic, I mean, I've been subclinically depressed, not because it was insane, precisely because it was sane. I knew it was a bad situation. And the solution was to change my job or get a new relationship or move to a different place or something like that. It wasn't drugs or therapy or whatever, and so on. So a lot of Labour rebels saying, no, we can't have this, partly because they are far left. But it's not just left-wing extremism. It's more cynical than that. It's because people on benefits of Labour's payroll vote. We need some fiscal responsibility, which Labour is obviously failing to deliver. All these spending announcements, but you know, they're going to have to borrow more, they're going to raise taxes, but they're not announcing this bit, and so on. So Stephen Kinnock is the care minister, as in he's the son of the former Labour leader Neil Kinnock. He's the husband of the former Prime Minister of Denmark. Over 100 Labour backbenchers were going to rebel. That's out of 411 MPs. So, you know, not even a year into the Labour government, they're facing a major rebellion. Starmer's more unpopular than ever. So he's had to perform a volte-face on this one. So the change will only affect future benefit recipients, not those current benefit recipients. So up to 126 Labour MPs were going to vote against it. Now, Labour could still get this through, but they didn't want to have to go so far as to be reliant on the Conservatives. The Liberal Democrats were going to vote against. So Labour really relies on these people to vote for them, and obviously it's hacked off some of their supporters already. I think what we should do is take away the right to vote from those who are on universal credit. If you're living off other people's money, you're incentivized to be voting for more and more money. You've got to be a net contributor. I mean, obviously, I would allow pensioners have the right to vote and things like this. So it's been very difficult, and they have carefully orchestrated a campaign to belittle him, to make him have to back down. So he's going to strike a deal with his, with the Labour rebels. The Work and Pension Secretary is Liz Kendall, or Labour's most honourable MP. The idea was to reduce the welfare bill by £5 billion by the year 2030. By then, total public expenditure would be about £2 billion. That'd be a very, very small amount, but at least be going down. So why are all these people sick? And if you say you've got a sore back, then the doctor can't prove to the contrary. So there's some people who are faking it. I know there's people who are genuinely disabled. And actually, even if you're disabled, we do loads of jobs as sedentary. You do them at a desk. So the days when people did physically demanding jobs are over. I mean, why are there over three times more people who are registered disabled than there were in the 1960s? In the 1960s, an awful lot of people were factory workers, farm laborers, coal miners, shipyard workers, things like that. In building, did physically demanding toil, and how things have changed. So the Liberal Democrats, they've got their plan, what they're going to do. Now, how does this affect Caledonia? Scotland runs it separately to the rest of the United Kingdom, but universal credit is for the whole United Kingdom. So how strange then? Okay, all right. And I do accept that there are extra costs of being wheelchair users, so I would allow some sort of PIP. But he doesn't have the courage to follow through, and the bill is just going up and up and up. And if he does, if Labour is not going to grasp it little now, they're never going to do it. But once he's been forced to back down on one issue, it'll be another, it'll be another, it'll be another. Maybe, I mean, it might be a good thing with some of his disastrous policies. They might get the United Kingdom to finally recognise Palestine, which is decades overdue. So you see his authority is leaching away. It's partly why Angela Rayner is on manoeuvres, because he's got the lowest approval rating of any prime minister ever, even more unpopular than Liz Truss at her worst, since the records began, was in the 1950s. So he is a liability to Labour. He's not an asset. He's dragging them down. And a lot of their working class voters are going to far left parties like the Liberal Democrats, the Greens, or sometimes they're going to a party which is kind of right wing, and that is Reform United Kingdom. So Angela Rayner leaked her own document on welfare reform because that'll be lapped up by the leftist gutter press. And I'm trying to put out feelers to disgruntled backbenchers. And so a lot of them are disaffected from Starmer, even though she's guilty of everything he's guilty of. So that he'll be forced out. But I mean, the smart thing for Labour will be short for the next election. But if they're going to be disastrous results for Labour, possibly in the Welsh parliamentary elections next year, which Plaid Cymru might win, Reform UK might come second, Labour might be third, and they've never ever lost an election in Wales. They say they're going to get the Scottish Parliament back, but actually, I mean, now I'm not so sure. I think they will, but even if they do, it's not going to be an outright majority, so that might be underwhelming. Local election results might be quite poor as well. So might Starmer go in the middle of this parliament, like May next year, and Angela Rayner to take over? And she's identifiably working class, would supposedly appeal to some of those people who are disillusioned with Labour but voted for them last time. So bang on and on and on about her sob story about how unfortunate and how unlucky she was and how she overcame adversity. Now, there is the problem of her being an ignoramus, that she can't even speak properly. So she's just very poorly informed. She'll be seen as a national disgrace. And let's face it, she's got sex appeal. Someone would like that. Now, I've never graced in my presence, but those who've met her say that she's very witty, okay, and that she's connects with audiences better than that really dull, desiccated Keir Starmer type. What do you think? Thanks for watching my channel and goodbye.